we're going to veer off from the Gospels a little bit. 1 and 2 Peter are two of my favorite books in all the Scripture. They are poetic, they're lyrical to read, but more importantly, they're hopeful, they lift us up, and they call us to be greater people than we already are. And so I turned to them on this Sunday after Easter, which is actually two Sundays, but it's still Eastertide. I turned to 1 Peter because I think it's important for us to remember that Easter isn't over. It was just the beginning for the Christian community. It was just the beginning for the disciples. It was very easy for them to get discouraged in those first days, just as sometimes today it's easy for us to get discouraged as Christians. We think everybody should be in church. We are. I mean, we know what's going on, so why don't they? We're here. We're doing the work of the Lord. Why don't they get with the program? It's not that easy. 1 Peter reminds us that sometimes the temptation is there to put worldly things before godly things. The writer says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By His great mercy, He has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ." From the dead, that's all right. And into an inheritance. Now, these words are really important. Into an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who are being protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed at the last time. In this you rejoice, even if now, for a little while, you have had to suffer trials, so that the genuineness of your faith, being more precious than gold, that though perishable, is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Although you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and rejoice with an indescribable and glorious joy, for you are receiving the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Now, the second part of the scripture reading that we're doing today ties right in with that, but it helps us understand how we're to live with these wonderful, imperishable souls now. If you invoke as Father the one who judges all people impartially. Wait a minute. All people impartially. According to their deeds, live in reverent fear. You don't have to be afraid. You need to be in awe. Live in a reverent fear during the time of your exile. You know that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited by your ancestors. Not with perishable things like silver and gold. That's not how you were redeemed. But with the precious blood of Christ. Like that of a lamb without defect or blemish. He was destined before the foundation of the world, but was revealed at the end of the ages for your sake. Through him, you have come to trust in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and your hope are set on God. Now that you've purified your souls by your obedience to the truth, so that you have genuine mutual love. Love one another deeply from the heart. You have been born anew, not of perishable, but of imperishable seed, through the living and enduring word of God. May God bless the reading and the hearing and the understanding of this word. He is poetic, is he not? Flowery somewhat in his speech. You have to break it down. But those three words, thank you very much, Amanda, for reading my mind. Those three words, imperishable, undefiled, unfading. That's God's love for you. You can't kill it. You can reject it. You can walk away from it. You can't kill it. You can't kill God's love and you can't kill God. If you think you have that power, let me set you straight. You don't. Nobody does. God's love is imperishable. God's love will be here long after we're all gone. God's love will always be a part of humanity as long as there is one believer. And God's love will exist whether there's one believer or not. But as long as there is one believer, then God's love not only remains imperishable, but it also remains undefiled. Yes, you can try and defile God, but the only thing that you do is defile yourself. You know what that word means, defile? Make yourself ugly before yourself and God and other people. I witnessed something a couple weeks ago that was ugly. I had to go out and see Dr. Perrine for my bronchitis. And it came through the hospital after I'd been to the doctor. I went through the hospital before I came back and went out. And as I was going through, there were two women. I don't know if they were mother and daughter. I don't know if they were two sisters. I don't know what their relationship was. But they had a relationship because they were together. Think about that a minute. If you're together, you've got a relationship. Here we go again. Thank you, God. Yes, it's true. If you're together, you've got a relationship. Whether you want it or not, you've got a relationship. Now, these two have some sort of relationship. I don't know what kind of relationship it is. I can tell you it's not a healthy one, but it's a relationship. And they were screaming at each other. You know that walkway that goes across from the doctor's office to the hospital at Carrollton? They were just and calling each other names and using swear words and all sorts of things. Now, you know, I have been known to use swear words. Do I need to confess that before you and just get it out there? I do. But I don't use them at people. I do it when I stub a toe or I drop something and break it or something like that. I don't call people terrible names. They were defiling themselves and defiling each other. And believe me, God was not happy. But God was still there. And God was not defiled. Because you can't defile God. You defile yourself. You make yourself really ugly by the words that you say, by the way you act, by the things that you do. You can make yourself really ugly. But I'll tell you something. God still thinks you are precious and beautiful. God does. We may not. That's our problem. But God does. God never, see, when God is imperishable and undefiled and unfading, God never loses hope for us. Never, never, never. Can we all say it? Never. Never. We sometimes do. Don't we sometimes lose faith in other people? Don't we sometimes give up on other people? Sure we do. We might try and try and try and try and try and try, but you know, and finally, I just have to give up. No, you don't. to try like you're trying now, but you don't give up. You keep loving, even if you can't love them the way they are now. What's the old adage? I love you, but I do not like you. Right? My mom and I used to say that to each other once in a while. We had a very open, honest relationship. And she would call me on something I did, and I'd say, you know, Mama, I love you, but I don't like you very much right now. And she'd look at me and she'd say, you know what? I don't like you very much either. Think about that for a minute. But I never doubted for one second that she loved me. And I never doubt for one second that God loves every single person. Every single person. Every single person on this earth. And God created them to be beautiful and wonderful and awesome and unique. And you can't defile Him. Then, the last one, unfading. I have to tell you, a couple days after Easter, Carol and Bruce, my friends from St. Louis, came up to help me do some things. And one of the things that we did was we got the patio furniture out of the basement. And we were kind of washing it off and getting, you know, trying to see what was going to work and what wasn't. Well, it was amazing to me. My furniture had been under trees, but it had been there for several summers. And, of course, I didn't realize how much sun it actually got. And all of the seats were very faded. And there was my little rocking chair that I have, was so faded that you couldn't tell that it was even ever a color. And when I went to sit down in it, boom, it had worn out. You know? That can happen to stuff. That can happen to material things. That can even happen to you and I sometimes. We fade. When I first started getting bronchitis, I thought, I'm fading fast, you know. And today, in 20 minutes or so, I'm going to feel that same way. The guys were teasing me about how I should preach 5 minutes shorter because they helped me with the furniture. And I said, I'm going to preach twice as long because I missed a week. In any case, sometimes we feel like we're fading. God never fades. God will be with you every single moment of your life. And God's brightness is just as bright the first day as it is the last day. And every day in between. Now, 2 weeks ago was Easter. And we baptized 2 young people that were amazing young people. I love working with them. That was fun. And I loved baptizing them. But I got to tell you, one of the things that gets me more than anything when I do baptisms is it's not just the baptismal candidates that are affected by that moment. I looked around in this congregation as I was doing the blessing of the waters and talking with you, and there were already people who were starting to tear up. And the minute that the first person, when Beta got in the water, there were tears that were flowing, and it was sometimes, some of it was her family, but some of it was not. And I looked at Abby, and Abby was just standing there with this odd look on her face, like, I'm here. I'm here for this moment with Beta. And I look over and Don was taking pictures, which I was so grateful. You know, he got great pictures there of them in the water. But I'm looking over at him and you can tell he's visibly moved. And I am too. Every time I do a baptism, see, what we do in life affects other people. So are you going to be positive or negative? Are you going to live a life that's imperishable and undefiled and unfading, or are you going to just let it all get to you? Jack got in the water. And you could tell he was nervous. And I've never seen a prouder mentor in my life than Rex Kinder, who stood there with his chest out so far. You could have planted corn on it. And tears in his eyes. not over. Israel will never be over. You and I are called to live a life that's filled with that kind of emotion, that kind of goodwill, that kind of unconditional love. We are called to live an imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, especially life with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen?
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 Amen. Let us pray. Holy and gracious God, you're so good to us. You're so good to us. You give us moments that remind us how sweet it is to believe in you. And you give us moments to remind us that we need each other. We cannot walk this road alone. We cannot walk this journey alone. You give us moments when we just want to praise you. And we want to thank you for being there with us. You give us moments when you just get us through the moment, and we thank you. Let us lead a life that is pleasing to you. Let us not fade or grow weary. Let us live in that impenetrable casing of baptism that allows us to be imperishable with you. In your holy name we pray. Amen. Our hymn of invitation this morning is When Morning Gilds the Skies. And I invite you all to allow the goodness of Easter to surround you and fill you again, because we will always be Easter people. Let us stand and sing.